Welcome to Hacks and Jacks, where we talk hitters on Pitcher List. I'm Brett Ford here with Scott Chu, hitter analyst for Pitcher List. We're talking Scott's top 150 hitters list. We're talking bats. We're talking news and notes. And we'll get to all that in just a little bit. But first, Scott, how was your week? Are you hopefully feeling better from early this week?
I'm functional in a way. So yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Yeah, my kids came home with the smoke from the Canada wildfires was blowing in, and it aggravated my asthmatic son. So he was homesick on Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday, I think. So I stayed home with him and missed a little bit of work. But it's a shame that there weren't more baseball games on Thursday. I think there was only like four on the schedule, or else it would have been a nice little day with me and my buddy. But didn't work out that way.
Yeah, mine aggravated my asthmatic me. So, among other things, it was not fun.
Well, let's jump into news and notes from the MLB. We'll talk the hitters that have gone on the IL, who's on track to come back from the IL, and then a couple of names to keep in mind that have gotten called up from the minors. We'll start with IL guys. Third baseman from the Atlanta Braves, Austin Riley, goes down with an injury. And Scott, we're holding there, right? Like there's no reason to think that he won't be back within a relatively short period.
I mean, third base is a garbage pit, generally speaking, from a waiver wire standpoint. I don't think you have much choice but to hold and hope. He's been a lot better than you think he's been when he's been healthy. Like he still rates out overall as a top 100 hitter, even though you expect him to be a lot more than that. Like that's still a disappointing, you know, sort of production from where he was drafted. But at the same time, it's not as though he's been like absolute, you know, hogwash. So you got to hold him if you have any IL spots. And there's, you know, you got to treat him like a top 50 player when he's active. It's just, I understand how painful that is to do.
Well, we've got a couple other outfielders who are down on the IL this week, and these might be guys that we go to the waiver wire for. It's Baltimore outfielder Colton Cowser and San Francisco Giants outfielder Gerard Encarnacion. Are these guys that you're holding, or are you just looking for a replacement level guy at this point?
Yeah, not in mixed leagues. No, I think you got to let them both go. They both have some pop. They both have some promise if healthy. Colton Cowser more so than Gerard Encarnacion, but you got to let them both go. I mean, at this point in the season, you know, there's not that much time left. There's not a lot of time, even if they're good, to make up for someone who's going to be in for 3 weeks longer than them. Because what is that? Like a third of the remaining season? So you got to let these guys go.
We'll talk about a little bit brighter news with some guys that are at least on track to come back from the IL. Third baseman from the Phillies, Alec Bohm, is beginning a rehab assignment. When Bohm comes back, where are you thinking about putting him as far as the list, as far as third base? Is he a guy that you know, you held in some places, or is he a guy that might be available on the waiver wire in some places? And if he is, are you scooping him?
So being third base eligible helps, right? Second base, third base, those are the two positions I'm finding that are just the hardest to keep exciting, to keep active bodies in that don't make me want to tear all my hair out. So he'll probably get placed somewhere between 100 and 120. If you already have a third baseman, say you scooped up Addison Barger or something like that, like you're not really going to be that interested in Bohm. But if you're in a points league or you're just constantly cycling through guys at third base, he might be worth the scoop. Again, Bohm has always been this high floor, low ceiling kind of guy. You know, his spot in the lineup matters a lot. You know, you really want to see him hitting fourth, fifth, sixth because he doesn't hit the ball that hard. He just puts it in play. So he needs guys on base in front of him. So he'll be usable. But if you've already got a third base answer, he's not like this must go get kind of guy.
We'll shift gears and head out west where Seattle Mariners first baseman Josh Naylor is running incredibly hot right now. He left the game earlier this week with an injury. It looked like maybe a shoulder, but obviously he's fine. He's stolen 11 bases and hit four home runs since joining the Mariners. That's like 15 games. Are you serious? Is Josh Naylor, first of all, is he just a streaky power hitter? Is this, you know, a sign of something more? And also, is this speed for real?
The stolen bases in his short time with the Mariners is more than he's ever had in a full season ever. He had 10 in 121 games for the for the Guardians back in 2023. And it's not as though they're an extremely conservative team. So that's pretty fluky. I wouldn't be counting on stolen bases. Like, it's cool you're getting them. I'm not counting on them. I think the power for Josh Naylor, look, he hit 31 home runs last year, but I don't think any of us pegged him as a guy who's more than like 20 home runs in a season. That's probably closer to his ceiling. He hits a lot, you know, he hits the ball on the ground or line drives a lot. He's got power, but he doesn't always put the ball in the air. So, this is what a hot Josh Naylor looks like. I mean, the speed is, again, that's, no one could have predicted that. No one would have given him a prediction of 11 stolen bases on the season, much less in, you know, 15 games or whatever it is. So, you know, take the money and run. But otherwise, I mean, yeah, he'll hit some more home runs. He's mostly going to be, in my mind, an average and RBI guy.
We'll take a look at some guys that got called up this week from the minors. I'm going to throw a handful of names at you, and you can kind of tell me which ones that might appeal to you for the rest of the season, at least in fantasy formats. Colorado infielders Kyle Karros and Aaron Shunk. Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Tristan Peters. San Francisco Giants outfielder Drew Gilbert. And Cleveland first baseman CJ Cephas.
So if you were watching the stream, which you weren't, you'll know that I shook my head all the way up until the end. CJ Cephas is a mildly interesting prospect here. I think, you know, he's definitely getting time towards the bottom of that Guardians lineup. He's a lefty. So even if he gets platoon, he's got a little more to him. He's got some power. He wasn't quite a top 100 level prospect, but he's got a decent hit tool. I think, you know, he struck out quite a bit so far. Granted, again, it's only 24 plate appearances that we've seen so far. It's 28, including today. He didn't strike out today, but the strikeouts are probably going to be an issue for CJ Cephas. But long term, he does have some upside as like a low ceiling, high floor type who can take a lot of walks. So in OBP league, CJ Cephas has some intrigue. But again, he strikes out a little too much. It might take some time for that to transition to be, you know, we need him in the majors to be like a 11% walk rate, 25% strikeout like he was in AAA. But when he first landed in the majors, it's not going to be that good. So expect him to strike out a little more than that at first. But he's got some long-term intrigue, CJ Cephas, in OBP leagues. But in mixed leagues, I think you got to ignore him.
We talked about the Giants bringing up Drew Gilbert. I'm still waiting on them to bring up Bryce Eldridge. Eldridge just hit his fifth home run of August today. He's got a 1.165 OPS in about almost 40 plate appearances for the Rivercats in AAA this month. Just bring him up. Just bring him up. I know they're probably waiting so that he's rookie eligible again next year, but we need to see Bryce Eldridge in the major leagues.
Yeah, the strikeout rate's a little high, and I guess his hamstring's a little sensitive. But yeah, he's a guy that, you know, when Bryce Eldridge gets called up, I think he'll be someone that you're really looking at for power. Maybe OBP, depending on how much he can walk in the major leagues. He walks at about, you know, the close to 10% so far in the high minors. We'll see how that turns out. The problem is right now in the high minors, he's striking out close to 30% of the time. That could look like 35% when he gets to the majors, and that's going to be pretty untenable. So that's what we're waiting for him. We want to see that strikeout rate be under 30% when he gets to the majors, or it's just going to be hard to stick around.
Well, we saw Nick Kurtz do it and kind of bring his strikeout rate down as time went on. So maybe we'll see Eldridge do it as well. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back after this as we tackle Scott's top 150 hitters list when we come back. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. I'm Brett Ford here with Scott Chu. We're talking Scott's top 150 hitters list. Scott puts out this article every week, midweek, detailing the top 150 hitters in fantasy baseball. And Scott, we had some interesting changes this week. Some guys that came up in the rankings that I was kind of surprised to see rise, frankly. And then at least one guy that I was surprised to see drop, even though his drop wasn't that egregious. I know it probably pained you, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's talk about risers. Let's start with tier two. Toronto first baseman Vladimir Guerrero jumps up from tier three to tier two. He's ranked number 10 this week. He's up three spots, but that tier jump is really interesting. I know it feels like a mild, elevation, but that tier jump really puts him in elite company. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. Jumping from like 15 to 10 is like jumping from 120 to 80 in the back part of the list. So Vlad Guerrero Jr. makes a jump, and that's because he's hitting home runs. He's getting the ball in the air. Right now, again, we've seen him do this for streaks at times. Doesn't always keep it going, but the dude's hitting the ball hard. He's getting the ball out of the yard, since July 26th, and including today, we've seen Vladimir Guerrero hit six home runs, and that's in, 15 games. So, I mean, we know that he can do that. He's got a really flat bat path. So it can come in bunches, because that bat path leads itself to a lot of line drives and not so much home runs. It's very like how the little league coach taught you sort of bat path, but it's, he's hitting tons of home runs. He's hitting plenty of doubles while he's in this kind of groove. He's really hard to disagree with. And this whole, it's not merely ancillary to note that this Blue Jays offense is on fire. Toronto Blue Jays are one of the best offenses in baseball right now. And when you hit in the middle of it and you never strike out, that means a lot of, that means a lot of counting stats every time you put the ball in play. So it's hard to ignore what Vlad Guerrero Jr. is doing right now. He's only 26 years old, hitting 294, OBP almost 400, right? Because he takes plenty of walks, never strikes out. In points leagues, he's darn near a god, right? Outside of Juan Soto, this is one of the most premier hitters in points leagues. There's just so much to like, right? Like the only thing he doesn't do is run, and who cares, right? When you do everything else, I don't need you to run. So Vlad Guerrero takes that step up because he's showing us that, those 30 home runs he hit last year, that's not something that's going to, he can get back to that, right? He has these lulls in power, but he keeps showing us, hey, look, he can get back to 30 home runs, and 30 home runs, 100 RBI and a 290 average, that puts you in the top 15, guys. That's just what it does.
We talked about the Toronto Blue Jays offense being just outstanding recently. It's probably set up one of the easiest segues of the season. We jumped to tier six, where Toronto shortstop Bo Bichette has jumped up 15 spots to number 52 overall. Tag on what Bichette's been doing to what you're talking about with Vlad.
Yeah, and this is a guy that I was really low on coming into the season because he showed us basically nothing in the 2 years prior, but he just steadily has climbed back into that kind of contact bat to ball sort of hitter that he can be, right? He's shown us he can get back to the 20 plus home run power. You have to remember, this is a dude that hit four home runs in 81 games in 2024, only hit 225. It looked like everything fell out. He now looks back to being what he was, probably roughly something between what he was in 2022, 2023. That's not an elite player, so to speak, but it's a borderline top 50 hitter, a very, very solid shortstop, one that, especially in points leagues, because he doesn't strike out much. That strikeout rate's only 14.9% this year. I think Bo Bichette is a guy who, if you took a chance and you weathered through some of the storms early in the season, you got to be feeling pretty good right now.
We'll drop down to tier seven for our next riser. He's up 21 spots, up to number 61 overall. It's Miami Marlins outfielder Kyle Stowers. And I know Stowers is a guy that, we've kind of been waiting for the fall off to come based on, those behind the scenes metrics that we always talk about. But are we believers now? I mean, up to 61 in the list and no signs of slowing at the moment. Is Kyle Stowers for real?
What it depends what we mean by for real, right? So the problem we have with Kyle Stowers is that he's not very good at hitting pitches in the zone. And you might be thinking like, well, all the production is there, his batting average is great. Why do you think he's not good at hitting pitches in the zone? And that is because on the season, his zone contact rate, which is 78.9%, that's the sixth worst. Now, there are players in that range who have shown they can survive with this kind of zone contact rate. We're talking about Riley Green, Shohei Ohtani, Randy Arozarena, Rafael Devers, O'Neal Cruz. So you might be thinking like, Scott, why do you care about zone contact rate so much? That's because generally speaking, year over year, like if we look at the full season 2024, the guys with under 80% zone contact rate, they just aren't the guys that you want them to be. So Rafael Devers stands out. He had among qualified hitters last year, 76% zone contact rate. He had a good season. Here are the other guys, 76.3%. That's Zach Eloff. 76.4%. That's Christopher Morel. 78.2%. That's O'Neal Cruz. Streaky, right? Randy Arozarena, 78.5. Streaky. Teoscar Hernandez, streaky. 78.7. Adolis Garcia, 78.8. Streaky. Zidane Rafaela, 79.7. Streaky. And Jazz Chisholm, guess what? 79.9%. Streaky, right? That's what this profile is. Having a low zone contact rate, particularly below 80% as a qualified hitter, it turns into streakiness, right? Now, we've seen the good side of Kyle Sowers. The question is, what does the bad side look like, right? I'm not saying he's going to be bad forever or that he's going to have a long bad slump, but until I see him go through a slump and come out of it, it's really hard for me to say like, oh yeah, this is what he is all the time. Because right now, all I can say is this is what he looks like when he's on. But if I judge guys like Tyler O'Neill by what they look like when they're on, every time they're active, I got to place him in what, the top 50? But the problem is those guys aren't like that all the time when they're healthy, right? They're very streaky because they go through these moments where because they're subpar at hitting strikes, they go through these moments because they're humans where they just miss a ton of hittable balls and you don't get that many as a major leaguer. So that's a big problem. So whenever I see his own contact rate below 80%, my flag is up. Right now, again, there are guys who can survive like this long-term, but they tend to be guys like Rafael Devers, Aaron Judge, like guys who show it elite over and over again, right? So whenever a player shows it just one time, you're going to be skeptical, right? If a guy shows one season that they pull the ball in the air a lot, that's cool. But you need them to show it to you multiple times to believe that it's something that can happen over and over again, because anyone can do it once. Anyone can get away with a zone contact rate below 80% once, right? They can't do it over and over and over again. Kyle Sowers has had a low zone contact rate his entire time in the major leagues. Can he succeed with that? Well, he didn't until this year, right? To show me that he can do that again and again and again, I need to see it again and again and again, right? I'm not saying cut him. I'm not saying trade him. Go ahead and just hold and see what you got. But to put him among the top 50, the top 25 bats like he's performed, I need to see him be able to perform like this and succeed with this low zone contact rate several times, because I just have to be that conservative, because this profile speaks very loudly and we've seen it so many times as streaky power hitter, as the Zach Eloffs, who Zach Eloff did it last year, or sorry, 2 years ago. We saw Zach Eloff do this and we said, yeah, but he's bad at hitting strikes and that could fall apart. And it did. We've seen Christopher Morel do this. We've seen all these guys do this, right? So Logan Ohapi is another example of a guy who just stays above 80%. He can do it for a while, and then he has these horrible slumps. That's what this profile tends to lead to. So that's just the caution I'm putting out there, that Kyle Sowers' profile currently looks like a guy who's very streaky, very up and down. That doesn't mean he's bad. I'm just saying these good times, they're not the only times you're going to experience.
I was trying to pull up where he ranks as far as like fantasy performance so far this year. And I'm struggling to pull up my outfield ranks.
Yeah. As of right now, he is the 27th ranked batter, the 13th ranked outfielder on the season, player 41 overall. Although it's much less than that over the last 2 weeks, he slowed down a little bit, but again, it's a streaky profile.
Yeah. I think your ranking makes a lot of sense. If he's hitter number 41, you know, dropping him down those 20 spots, even though it's a rise this week, still having him kind of 20 spots below performance makes a lot of sense as far as, you know, that streakiness, that zone contact rate being a red flag. So that ranking tracks for sure. Let's move on to three more big risers this week. All of them kind of glob together in the 90s, just inside the top 100. In tier 10, we have Detroit Tigers outfielder Kerry Carpenter up 23 spots to number 94. We have Chicago White Sox outfielder Luis Robert Jr. up 25 spots to number 95. And then we have Houston Astros first baseman Christian Walker up 22 spots to number 96. So all three of those guys, massive jumps right next to each other, rounding out the top 100. Scott, talk me through those rank increases and why each guy is climbing your list.
Yeah, these guys are not the same player like individually, but together they have a single quality, and that is we know that they're good. We've seen them be good. We've seen them be good multiple times. We've seen them be good for extended periods of time. And now they're being good, right? Now they're performing well. So it's easy for me to jump them out the ranks because I'm like, I know what Kerry Carpenter is like when he's good. Luis Robert Jr., there's a reason I've always been like hemming and hawing. Every time you tell me you want to cut him, I'm like, I know you should, but he's got a lot of talent. It's because he has a lot of talent. That's why I say he has a lot of talent, right? That's what you're seeing right now. So these guys jump up because I knew they were good, right? And now they're showing me that they're good. And I believe that they can do this for longer than maybe, say, some random hot streak can, right? Like there's more to this because I've seen the skills before. I know this is something that they've done, that's something they've done for extended periods of time. That's what matters here. Compared to, again, just the random flavor of the week. This guy hit 2 home runs this week. This guy hit 3 home runs this week. Yeah, but like anyone can do that for a week. These guys have done that for a week many, many times. So that's what matters to me. That's what's important here for Kerry Carpenter, for Christian Walker, for Luis Robert Jr. I've seen them be good before. I know what their talent is. Now they're just showing me that it's still true, as opposed to trying to prove something new to me, which is what players who have never done something like this in the minors have done before.
Well, that rounds out our risers for the week. But Scott, I wanted to touch on one of the guys that joined the list this week. And that's Lenin Sosa, Chicago White Sox infielder. He's on the list for what might be the first time in his career. He's ranked 138. And he's been hitting the ball really well recently and is a guy that in a lot of even like 15 team leagues is available on the waiver wire in a lot of places. What are you seeing from Lenin Sosa that's got him on your list this week?
Well, he's got this cool quality, which is called being a second baseman. So that's a big deal. Being a second baseman, like that position, like just every time I'm looking at waiver wires in my leagues, I'm realizing second base is so tough. So whenever someone can come out and be like, oh, I can play second base and they don't suck entirely, I'm like, oh, you're very interesting now. So Lenin Sosa certainly has that going for him. He hit another home run today on Sunday. That would be his 14th of the season. Look, he's a very classic White Sox hitter right now, which means he never walks. He strikes out more than 20% of the time, like only just over 20%, but it means the batting average is very variable because he swings at everything. He's a very aggressive hitter, but he hits the ball hard, right? He's hitting it harder than he ever has before, right? 90.6 mile per hour average exit velocity. That's a big deal. That barrel rate slightly above average at 9%. You know, he's doing the right things. I'm not saying there's like a star here, but we're talking about second base and you're just trying to talk yourself into not starting Jeff McNeil half the time. And Lenin Sosa can help you do that. And I know that sounds like really overly simplistic, but like honest to God, that's what a lot of us are doing. We're being like, I really don't want to start Jeff McNeil. I don't want to start someone who doesn't play every day. How do I get a second baseman? Lenin Sosa can be that guy. And do I think he's going to be that good for a long time? No. I think that overall, he's a fairly average probably hitter. I love that the strikeout rate recently has dropped down closer to like 15% over the last month or so. So that's really good. But at the same time, this is like a limited upside overall player. I think in like a full good season, he hits like 20 home runs and steals 5 bases and hits like 260, which again is not an exciting hitter. But guys, this is second base, right? And when Brandon Lowe is hurt, and when other dudes are just like not performing, Brendan Donovan is slumping, you're desperate at second base. Lenin Sosa, he's there. He exists. And that matters.
We'll go to break. We'll come back and talk about some guys who are falling down Scott's ranks after this. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. I'm Brett Ford here with Scott Chu talking through the top 150 hitters list. Scott puts this out every week on Pitcher List and ranks the top 150 hitters in fantasy baseball. We talked through the risers for this week. Let's talk through the guys that are tumbling down the ranks. And this one hits close to home, Scott. It's Detroit Tigers outfielder Riley Green. He's down 9 spots, still in tier 5. He's number 36 overall. Is Riley Green going to break out of this funk?
You mean the guy who just hit a home run, scored 2 runs, and had 3 RBI today? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, maybe. Maybe he will. Look, I do think that the strikeouts will continue to remain a problem. I think that the walks aren't maybe going to be there like they were last season. But we're talking about a guy who's top 5 in the league in RBI. And that's because this offense can't score runs, and it's because he hits at the heart of it, and it's because he can't hit. So, look, I know when he's cold, he looks as bad as anyone in the league, but you got to believe in Riley Green. I had too many people ask me in the Reddit AMA, should I drop Riley Green? Are we ready to cut Riley Green? No, we're not ready to cut the guy with the 5th most RBI in the league this season. Not last, this season, right? Like, thanks to today, he has 87 RBI right now. Right now, you tell me this is a guy who's going to have 100 RBI at the end of the season. You're telling me you want to cut him? You want to cut him now? You just want to give other people free RBI? Absolutely not, right? If you've suffered through the bad, at least wait for the good, right? So Riley Green is a guy I still believe in. Now, you can temper your expectations, right? He's been as high as the top 20. I've pulled that back a bit. I definitely think he's top 40 rest of the way. But, you know, I get it, right? He's having some adjustment periods. A lot of that comes to that big uppercut swing. I know we've talked about it. That's just part of the game. But don't give up on Riley Green completely.
Well, we'll move on to an outfielder out on the West Coast that we've talked about for a couple consecutive weeks now who continues to tumble down the list. And is this a guy that we might give up on? You say, don't give up on Riley Green. I'm 100% on board with that. But what about Mookie Betts?
If he didn't just have a decent couple of games, I would have said yes. So he's on a 4-game hit streak. He's got 6 runs scored and 5 RBI in that stretch. That's not including today where... he had 2 more hits. He didn't score any runs or RBI, but he's doing something. The fact that he's second base eligible, shortstop eligible, that matters. But yeah, I don't see a path to him. Like, projections have him slugging 450 the rest of the way. No, I don't see that. I'd be surprised if he slugs 400 the rest of the way, right? The power's just not there. I don't care what you want to blame it on. The fact of the matter is the path to hitting 20 home runs this year is very, very uphill. The path to getting to 75 RBI this year is very, very uphill. So, yeah, right now, if you just don't have anyone else on your wire that looks interesting, he has been a top 100 batter overall. If you don't have anyone else, as long as he's still hitting first or second in the lineup, you can justify holding him. But the moment the Dodgers drop him out of the top of that lineup, it's time to move. It's time to move on. For now, again, you can hold if you need to, right? If you want to believe. I'm not saying you can't believe. This guy has a long track record. I'm not saying he can't turn it around. I'm just saying if they don't let him hit first or second after, you know, for 3 days in a row, it's time to move on.
If I'm in a 12-team mixed league and I'm sitting there in, you know, third or fourth place, I need some improvement across, you know, all 5 hitting categories, and I've got Mookie Betts at second base, and I have a waiver option to pick up Luke Keyshaw. Are you dropping Mookie Betts for Luke Keyshaw? He's available in 40% of leagues right now.
Yes.
And that's a no-brainer for you.
Technically, I rank Mookie Betts higher, but if I need a boost, I'm going to look for the guy who looks like he might do something. I'm going to go for the pulse. If I'm like way ahead and I've had Mookie Betts this whole time, I'll keep holding to see if he turns it around. But if I'm trying to make a move forward, it's Keyshaw. If I'm ready to take on some risk, it's Keyshaw.
Yeah, I like that answer. I mean, it's caveated, but still, going for ceiling with Keyshaw the rest of the way, I agree with that completely.
I'm an attorney, Brett. There are no straight answers. There's maybes. There's under the right conditions. That's what this is.
And that's what fantasy baseball is, right? Like it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. And not every team is the same, not every team situation is the same. So to have that, you know, flexibility there, I think I follow it. And I certainly hope our listeners do as well.
That's too nice. I'm a hemmer. I'm a har, right? Like I'm wishy-washy. It's okay. That just means I'm thinking.
That's why the list changes every week, right? Like, I mean, things change, and that's why we have you doing the ranks.
Because the world is a fickle, cruel place. That's why the list change.
Dude, rankings are hard, man. Like, nobody's going to be 100% like happy with your ranks ever. So
you're not 100% happy with my ranks right now?
I mean,
Cut the stream.
let's go to before I stick my foot in my mouth anymore. Let's go to the next faller. It's Baltimore Orioles second baseman Jackson Holliday. He's tier 11, 101 overall. He's down 13 spots this week. Another second baseman. Talk to me about Jackson Holliday and his performance recently that has you dropping him.
You tell me, Brett, how does it feel? How does it feel to see your man fall? How does that? Yeah, it hurts. It hurts, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's just because he has the skills, but the production's not there. So he has to move down. I still believe in the talent overall, but the performance isn't there. And while he is a second baseman, like being second base eligible, that keeps him like relevant. But if this dude was an outfielder, he would have fell much further.
I feel like you made sure he was just outside the top 100 just for me. Like, I feel like that 101 ranking is just like the tiny bit, like the tiniest bit spiteful.
I'm glad you're paying attention.
Let's move on. Still sitting, we'll stay in tier 11, 110 overall, down a massive 35 spots. You talk about an outfielder. If Jackson Holliday was an outfielder, you would have dropped him further. Well, this guy's an outfielder, and he dropped further. It's Athletics outfielder Lawrence Butler.
No one asked me about dropping a guy more than I was asked about Lawrence Butler. And like, while the 15 home runs and 17 stolen bases are cool, the .231 batting average is not. The 28.7% strikeout rate is not. The fact that he's been pretty awful for the last 30 days is not fun. So look, if he's now sat against four straight lefties, that's the big thing, right? So the fact that he started sitting against lefties, that pulls him way down. If you are in a 10 or 12 team league, especially if you've only got three outfielders, you are in the replacement level. You need to move on.
Yeah. Lawrence Butler feels like Luis Robert Light. Like, he's that streaky power speed guy who just isn't producing right now.
Yeah, except like, I've seen Luis Robert Jr. be like an elite player for an extended time, and I saw this dude do it for a couple of months.
100%. We'll move on to our last faller of the week. It's tier 12, 126th overall, down 37 spots. And this has been a roller coaster season for this guy, Texas Rangers infielder Marcus Semien. He's back down and falling to the point where he might not be on the list again next week.
So he was really, really bad for about a calendar year. And then he was really good for like a month and a half, really. So from like late May till, well, yeah, early July, he was really good. And the question was, what happens when he slumps again? How long will it last? And he's still hitting third every day for the Rangers. But the contact was never that good. Like, he's on the season, he's still hitting .228, .304, .357. It's really hard. Like, if you just look at from the start of last year till now, it's really hard not to see these hot streaks as the small blips and the badness as the overall sort of feel to his game, with these little blips of hotness, these little blips of usefulness. And that's kind of where I am right now with Marcus Semien, where he's a back end 150 guy, because I think the bad times are more likely than the good times in any particular week.
And it's a shame, right? Because he was so much fun to watch for that 1 month where it was almost like a renaissance of like Marcus Semien from whatever it was, 2021, where you're like, okay, he's back. Like, he can do this. And then it just fell off a cliff again.
Yeah. He's supposed to be a volume floor guy. And when he's active, he's not necessarily that good. He's still getting the volume, but the floor is much, much lower than we anticipate. And he keeps showing us what that floor is. And that's my concern.
Well, we talked through the risers and fallers of the top 150 hitters list. Is there anybody on your taxi squad, guys who just missed the list, that you wanted to talk about this week?
Yeah, I think the guy I want to talk about the most is Matt Wallner. So Matt Wallner is a guy who's been on and off the list many times. He's on the paternity list right this second, but he's one of the hottest hitters on this Twins team who apparently just needed to get rid of everybody to start hitting. So Keyshaw's been hitting for him. Matt Wallner now, you know, he's got several home runs this week. He's hitting one like every other day, basically at the moment. And here's the thing. Remember all that stuff about I said about Kyle Stowers, where he has a big zone contact problem, makes him really streaky. That's Matt Wallner. That's what he does. It's what he's always been. So as much as I want to be like, yeah, you should buy into Matt Wallner, what you should see Matt Wallner as is a streaky power hitter who you can take advantage of, because when he's hot, he will rip the cover off the ball. And then when he's cold, it's all going to go away. It's like Tyler O'Neill without the steals and with less injury risk, right? I mean, that's what these guys do. They go on these crazy tears and then everything falls apart and they're unrosterable and then it comes back, right? I mean, he strikes out a ton. There's a reason for that. It's because he swings at strikes and misses them, right? He also walks a bunch because pitchers don't feel the need to throw to him in the zone. But even when they do, he misses. So I think Matt Wallner is a guy that you should be adding for power, and you should be ready to cut again when he goes on like an 0 for 30 streak, which he will, right? That's just part of his game. So be aware of Matt Wallner, be ready to scoop him, and then be ready to let him go. But he can be a useful player in small spurts. The only way Matt Wallner hurts you is that you try to hold him beyond his usefulness.
Now, Wallner available in 60 to 75% of 12 team leagues. He's probably a guy who will be available on your waiver wire, especially in shallower formats, three outfield leagues. Definitely somebody to look out for power. Well, we'll wrap up there, Scott. Tell the people where they can find you and your work for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so you'll keep finding me with that hitter list. It's coming out mostly on Thursday mornings now. So keep an eye out Thursday mornings, Thursday midday over at pitcherlist.com. You can still kind of hear my voice. I've been sick, so I apologize that I haven't been that active, but you can also find me on Reddit. Every Friday, we've got the AMA, me and Nate Schwartz rocking the AMA, answering every question we can. We keep answering them throughout the entire weekend. So if you've got a specific fantasy question, please hit me up there. It's basically a big giant mailbag that we spend plenty of time answering. We give you in-depth answers. So please check that out. Otherwise, yeah, it's that time of year, right? It's the grind. It's getting ready for the playoffs. I know a lot of you guys are thinking about fantasy football, but fantasy baseball is not over. So I'm still here if you need me.
And I'm Brett Ford. You can find me at Fade That Man on Twitter. I published the Sunday Fab Insights article, helping you guys navigate your Fab bids, in Fab formats. And of course, I'll also be writing, for QB List this fall for Scott's Talking Fantasy Football. I jump on board with that train as well. So I'm very active in the Pitcher List Discord, and hope you'll hit me up there.
Traitor! Turncoat!
I did start with QB List.
Yeah, good for you.
I started
with QB. We're happy List for you, Brett. Thank you, Brett. We're very happy for you.
It has been an incredibly fun journey with both QB List and Pitcher List. And I'm super grateful for both communities.
I'm sure you are, Brett. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Hacks and Jacks. We'll see you next week right back here on PitcherList.com.